So this teaching goes in a few different directions, but it really was a spur off of from when Julie taught us about believing some aspects of it. But I've titled this teaching, How About Us? And anyways, I'm going to open with, this is a chapter how to take God at His word by Dr. Werwell, a teaching. I never get tired of this teaching. And just first time I read it, I was like, there's just aspects of it that are just incredible. Things that work for me are simple. Things that work for me are, I often think of Dr. Werwell saying God's word is simple. Yes, I love the advanced class. Yes, I love deep teachings. Yes, I love research. But I don't know. I often come back to the first chapter of the Blue Book, and simple, basic, foundational principles and steps. And so I'm not going through this chapter, but there's definitely a few paragraphs in here that you just can't get past Dr. Werwell's The Last Will and Testament of God. The healing balm of God's magnificent word will permeate the believing heart, and it will make the believer a spiritual athlete of God, for it is the word for champions. The Bible is God's first and last, His one and only will and testament. Many times make more than one will and testament, because man may change his mind. Thus, when he changes his mind, he changes his will. But God is unchangeable. Thus, God has only one word, which is always his will, for he is God, the one and only God, who does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. When the last will and testament of a father is probated in a court before a judge, the appointed administrator is required to carry out the stipulations of the will in detail. Only a wayward child, one very unworthy, would ever try to upset the will of the father. What is your attitude toward God's last will and testament? Do you accept it as it is written? Or do you choose to try to upset the will of your father? The word of God is always the will of God for his children. A father's last will and testament is always for his loved ones only. The word of God was designed by the father so that his sons and daughters might know his will and subsequently enjoy the inheritance. A will is not for those who are not mentioned in the will. The last will and testament, God's revealed word, is as genuine as if your father himself stood and spoke this same word to you. It is his will and testament, therefore it is his word. Here's where this gets really cool. Well, the whole thing is cool. To me, anyways. This really sinks in. A last will and testament is always personal. It is an exciting moment in your life when you, as his son or daughter, hear the will and you understand it because it is explained. It is as personal as any words can ever be. You hear and see yourself mentioned, and finally the great reality dawns upon you that it is really you, that it is for you and to you, and that all that is set forth in his will is really and truly your legal sonship right to inherit. Isn't that a cool stretch? Dud, get it in my deep hard shell gourd. Right? Anyways, let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, we'll see that. If If you haven't ever read that chapter, there's aspects of it that are just... That's the chapter where he goes into about the first occurrence of the word holy with Moses on the mountain. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. You know, as I was reading those paragraphs in that chapter, you know, you can't help but picture. I've never been in a probate where they read the will, so to speak. But, you know, I could just picture, you know, here's the group. They're sitting there and they're reading the will. And, okay, what part of the will, what am I getting? You know, and then when you realize that, you know, that part of that will, and they tell you the parts of it that are yours. You know, you've inherited this, and you know that's this stuff. So, Hebrews 11:6. How does this relate to us? Well, but without believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, we're going to go to Mark 11. These are certain verses you just don't ever get tired of hearing. I love those kind. Some that you can see them over and over again. Sometimes, sad to say, it's because they haven't sunk in deep enough to believe them. So I get enlightened to see them again and know that I have them, that they're... part of the will, God's only will and testament. Mark 11:22. For Jesus answering saith unto them, have believing in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. So that believe is verb, and the receive is lambano. And it's God's will. Mark 5, a few pages back. Yeah, this is 5:21. So, we'll just read in 21. And when Jesus was passing over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy believing hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So what Julie pointed out to us when she taught was that this was a reference where they had believed in a person, you know, that he was capable. And it wasn't necessarily that a promise was given to her right there, but, you know, she believed in, well, now I know you can go, well, yeah, well, that was Jesus Christ. And, you know, this was a different situation. But, you know, this is still God's word. This is still God's will. And these promises are still for us. And these are markings for us of things that we can do and things that we can believe. It doesn't, we were already read in Malachi, God doesn't change. Right? He doesn't change. So, yes. So, while he yet spake, 35, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. That statement always gets me in the depth of the situation that was happening, and that's all he said. That is just... Be not afraid, only believe. Well, don't you know what just happened? You know, golly. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he came in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. I'd imagine so. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something be given her to eat. So they believed regarding him. They had faith in that person, that he was capable. So believing is acceptance of someone or acceptance of some information and or instructions. Doesn't change for us. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. We'll read it again. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. We're going to read these two things again. But without believing, it's impossible to please him, for he, including me and you, that cometh to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mark 11. Whew. This is God's will for us. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith, believing in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Remember, my teaching title is, how about us? Yeah, I know these were records of these guys, but how about us? Let's look on another cool record. Luke 1. Kind of gives us some instruction here. 26. Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is blessed. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation should be. So here comes the information that she's going to receive. Verses 30-33, she's going to receive information. Remember we said or I said, it's believing's acceptance of someone or acceptance of some information and or instruction. So here's the information. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So there she received the information. Then said Mary unto the angel, here's going to be where she accepts the information, verses 34 through 38. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month which with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So here she accepted that information that she had received. So let's continue on. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I taught this impartial on a Wednesday night fellowship, and when I hit this verse, I thought, That's better than a pregnancy test. Anyways, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So she believed. She accepted the information. She accepted what Gabriel sent from God. She accepted the information. She believed. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. I got to hurry up here. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 20, I gotta hurry. Here's a short form of this. And behold, verse 29:20, and behold, a woman which diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy believing hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So the woman believed. She believed in that person. Luke 18. Luke 18. I got a Luke 18, 35. And it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, that thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near to him, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy believing hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. That had to be a miracle. The blind man was healed. Mark 7. Mark 7. 24. Okay. And from Mark 7, 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the dead bed. And again, well, that's it. She was healed. She was taken care of. She believed in that person. Okay, back to Malachi. I'm sorry I'm rushing, but I'm really wanting to get to this one section. So. Malachi 3:6, remember we looked at this earlier. I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. Okay, well, John 8. John 8. You guys know these sections, so I can cover them fast. Thank you. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this is one of these sections I just never get tired of seeing over and over again. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And hallelujah, I'm going to make it to where I want to. 103 of Psalm. Psalm 103. I got to read another section for you. Dr. Werwolf, in that last Old Testament chapter, he also covers a stretch of Psalm 103. But I really wanted to read you this one out of a different book. This one's out of the chapter, The Benefits of God, out of God's Magnified Word. Dr. Werwolf has such a way of putting things into perspective in a simple way. With my whole being, I want to bless the Lord and bless his holy name. This is in reference to Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. And let me not forget all his benefits. Wouldn't it be too overwhelming if verse 2 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and remember all his benefits? Which one of us could possibly begin to remember and then enumerate all the blessings, all the benefits that we receive from God through the years? None of us could. Therefore, in this tremendous psalm, God does not tell us to remember all the benefits. He simply asks us not to forget them all. Here's some of the cool ones that enlightened me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There are certainly some times that we can remember when he has benefited us. Huh. He has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel of redemption and salvation. He has made his word living and real to us. He has taught us the keys that are so beautifully written in his word, such as his word is his will. How tremendous it is to just not forget what we were at one time and what he has made us today. What joy it is to realize the grace with which God has taken and loved us with an everlasting love, putting in hand upon us somehow to bring us into a life that many of us would have considered impossible. Dr. Werwolf, the way he can say things. We have had answers to prayers. We have had the privilege of ministering to people and seeing God's mighty deliverance performed in their lives. We have seen people's lives change when he taught them the Word of God, when his Word of God again started to make sense to them, that they saw how beautifully it fits together. Oh, golly goodness. I told you I had to get to some stuff here. So. Anyways, let's look out of Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And this is where Dr. Werwell covers in that chapter the first occurrence of the word holy in the Bible. And, so this word Lord is Jehovah, which is in relationship to that which he has created. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that they are, that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Boy, oh boy, that verse 4, golly, redeemeth thy life from destruction. Boy, I think we all can speak to that. And who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? You know, sometimes we're at those points in life where, we just get so kicked down and knocked down at times and beaten up, where we're just, it's like you need refreshed at times, and those times of refreshment, they just, they're such a boost to our souls when God has just a way of ministering to our hearts so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And boy, don't we need that. He will not always chide. I forget what I looked that up, the chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, praise God. Nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. How refreshing is that? He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them. Fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, which is really messengers. And I looked that up. Let's see. That word is used 213 times in the Old Testament. And it's a messenger. One with a message, a messenger from God acting as an interpreter and declaring what is right. Declaring what is right. That bless the Lord, ye his messengers that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, Jehovah, O my soul. What a great psalm that is. So again, this is God's will. It's his will for our lives. And great things of encouragement for us. And we are able to declare what is right as messengers, and not much else out there worth declaring. Yeah, I know you can say a lot of things. I didn't tell Julie this. She probably would have got upset this morning. God. God is too cool. So I go to my sister's here visiting, her and her boy, and we invited them to fellowship this morning, but they chose not to. So they just didn't. I'm fine with that. It's okay. You know, it's their choice. I'm not going to force it on them. I had enough of that when I was growing up, and I didn't ever want anybody to force it on me. But I come downstairs, and she wanted me to turn the TV on so she could watch Good Morning America and the news. I didn't want to watch that crap. So I ran upstairs. That's why I came upstairs with my bowl of cereal. It's like, I got to go. I'm late. I got to get to fellowship this morning. I wanted to be blessed, which I was reading God's word. I didn't want to hear the whole, like, garbage coming in my head this morning. So I'm on my way flying up the stairs. I go, just look it up on your phone. And I just left her there. Anyways, sorry. I'm easily amused here. Oh, I love you guys. I'm going to pray. God, I thank you for the greatness of your word, which to us in our lives is what is important and the only thing worth declaring and being messengers for. Everything else can just go by the wayside, and we're so thankful for you bearing your arm for us and taking care of us no matter all the situations and things that come around us in this world today. We're thankful that you are our God, you are our Father, that we have your will for our lives and that we can look to it and constantly be refreshed like that eagle. And God, in the times in our lives, we're just so thankful for you being our God, being our Father, and helping us along our way and protecting us with your hedge of protection. Thank you for this, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.